Good morning, everyone. The takeaway goes straight to North Korea. Todd Zwillick is with me. Celeste Headlee is out this morning. Todd, good morning from Washington.
Hi. Good morning, John. Thanks.
So, you know, it may look like indecipherable pageantry and ceremony over there in Pyongyang, but in fact, it's deadly serious process. Here are the details. North Korea's secretive leader, Kim Jong-il, has promoted his youngest son to the rank of military general, four-star general. He's never served in the military before. The clearest sign to date that Kim Jong-un will succeed his father. Little is known about Kim Jong-un. In fact, this is the first time that the country's official Korean Central News Agency has even mentioned the son by name. He's believed to be the youngest son of Kim Jong-il. Isn't that right, Todd?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yep. North Korea's ruling Workers' Party is set to meet in Pyongyang today, out of which there may be more news about the much-speculated appointment. Joining us is Charles Armstrong, director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So how do we separate the pageantry in North Korea from the real sense of process here? It reminds me of the old Kremlinology of the old Cold War days when you'd figure out who was going to be the next leader by looking at who was sitting where.
That's right, but the North Korean media has made some very specific announcements. Yesterday, Kim Jong-il promoted 39 people to the rank of general, including six to four-star general. One of those was his son, Kim Jong-un, as you mentioned, who has had no military experience that we know of. And also, interestingly, Kim Jong-il's younger sister, Kim Kyung-hee, was promoted to four-star general, which is rather unusual for a woman. Her husband, Chang Sung-taek, is thought to be the real power behind the scenes now in North Korea.
Interesting. Charles Armstrong is director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University. Hold on there. We go live to Seoul, South Korea, where the BBC's John Sudworth is standing by. John, what's the reaction in South Korea, and what do you make of the political behind-the-scenes details that Charles Armstrong was just mentioning there?
Well, people are fascinated here, of course. North Korea is one of the world's most resilient totalitarian governments. It's survived many predictions of its imminent demise before. But here, I think, potentially at least, we do have a sense that we're on the brink of some kind of change, that below the surface, something significant is going on. And this appointment of the third and youngest son of Kim Jong-il is, of course, the thing that everybody's focused on here. What people really want to see is whether over the next couple of days, as this party conference continues, we're going to get the next step, and that's public photographs for the first time, a view of what he looks like as a young man.
John Sudworth, is there, I think a lot of people in the West are wondering, I've heard people in Washington wondering, is there any hope at all that we've gotten to this young Kim Jong-un at all, that maybe somehow he can be influenced in a way that the dear leader and the great leader never were by the West?
Well, you know, that's a very interesting question. He is believed to have spent a number of years at school in Switzerland, an international school, obviously studying there under a different name. He said while at that school by some of his former classmates to have been a fan of NBA basketball. And I think, you know, who knows where the truth is in that. But if it is true, perhaps some people have suggested we may at some point have a North Korean leader with a bit more of a Western-friendly viewpoint. That said, I've also heard people point out in the last few days that Arab oil sheikhs have been educated at Oxbridge and Ivy League universities, and it hasn't turned them into liberal Democrats.
Indeed. Of course, sports has pried open the door in Asia more than on one occasion, that's for sure. Ping pong, of course, in mainland China. The BBC's John Sudworth, thanks so much for helping us out there from Seoul, South Korea. So, Charles Armstrong, let's take it to you. Carrying on forward with that question of Todd's, you know, it seems always that succession in North Korea is about maintaining a kind of rigid, almost creepy continuity between the past and the present and the future. Any chance that there would be some modification, some change? We're certainly not going to see a Raul Castro here compared to Fidel in the succession in Pyongyang.
Probably not, at least not in the near future. We're now going into the third generation of Kims. The founding leader of North Korea was Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Il-sung, of course. We don't know what Kim Jong-un is really like. We don't even know what he looks like, as you've heard. And he may be a closet reformer. He may be Western-oriented and have been influenced by his education in Europe. But for now, he will be probably a kind of rubber-stamp leader, a figurehead for the real powers behind the scenes, which are the more conservative old guard. sometime down the road, after he's built up his power base, he may take the country on in a different direction, but we'll have to see.
Well, to try to help us see it through the eyes of someone taking power in North Korea, as difficult as that may be, I mean, what would the reform agenda be if you were actually inclined to want to grab the reins and make things better tomorrow in North Korea? What would be the urgent agenda items that would be on the list?
Well, first of all, you have to maintain the appearance of continuity. You can't do anything that contradicts the words of the current great leader, Kim Jong-il, but especially his father, Kim Il-sung. Having said that, both of them said a lot of things which can be interpreted in various different ways. So within the context of this, what seems a really rigid kind of ideological language, you could begin the process of some sort of economic opening, which is really urgently needed in North Korea, whose economy is in a disastrous state, as we all know, and in a reconnection to the outside world. One thing that Kim Jong-un has been emphasizing for a number of years now has been upgrading the kind of technological infrastructure, particularly the information technology of North Korea, which may be a sign that North Korea is going to make the kind of informational connections to the outside world that has been lacking for so long.
And would that produce a revolution in North Korea in the way that we've seen in Iran, that Twitter feeds and all sorts of digital channels have really enhanced the ability of the insurgency there?
Well, apparently there are 260,000 cell phones now in North Korea, and we've seen what cell phones have done in Iran. But for now, Kim Jong-un's significance to the current leadership is precisely that he is so young and inexperienced that he can be the front person for whatever they want. So if the real power behind the throne in North Korea decides to move further in the direction of opening up and reform, we can see some significant changes that Kim Jong-un then himself could take control of as he gets older and more established.
Charles Armstrong is the director of the Center for Korean Research at Columbia University, talking about the indication that Kim Jong-un will succeed his father in North Korea, Kim Jong-il, at the official Korean Central News Agency. It's the first time it's even mentioned the son by name, the third son of the dynasty of Kim Jong-il, and it came at a ruling Workers' Party meeting in Pyongyang, which continues today. Thank you, Charles Armstrong, and stay with
You're
us.
Welcome.
Good morning, everyone. John Huckenberry here in New York. Todd Zwillick joins us from Washington this morning in for Celeste Headlee. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, good morning, John.
Well, the takeaway takes us to the North Korean capital, where on the streets of Pyongyang, you can apparently hear this this morning. Part of an official hint from state media in North Korea that a crucial development is underway. And the development appears to be that Kim Jong-il is going to appoint his son, his third son, Kim Jong-un, to succeed his father. The hint comes from the fact that he was appointed a four-star general, even though he's never served in the military. But not much is known about Kim Jong-un, and not much is known about any sort of succession process in North Korea under any circumstances. Joining us this morning to talk about the North Korean ruling Workers' Party meeting and all of the developments that are coming out of it is the New York Times Seoul correspondent, Mark McDonald, who joins us from South Korea. Good morning, Mark.
John, good morning.
So let's talk first of all about the process here. What do we know is the actual succession process, aside from, you know, dad calling up son and saying, get up here, you're going to be president soon?
Well, so far that's about all we do know. There really hasn't been a process. There's no sort of template for this. The last time this happened was 30-some years ago when Kim Jong-il himself sort of emerged at a meeting very much like this. And, in fact, that was the last time they held one of these meetings. So the takeaway, I guess, from what we know so far is that Kim Jong-un has been made a general and seems to be on the path, in the loop, for succeeding his father to become the eventual leader of the country.
And
he needed to have a military title, and that's what they gave him today.
And Mark McDonald, that is more than we've ever known about Kim Jong-un. Listen to what Charles Armstrong from Columbia University said earlier this morning.
We don't know what Kim Jong-un is really like. We don't even know what he looks like, as you've heard. And he may be a closet reformer. He may be Western-oriented and have been influenced by his education in Europe. But for now, he will be probably a kind of rubber stamp leader, a figurehead for the real powers.
That's Charles Armstrong of Columbia University. Mark McDonald, a lot of sort of questions motivated by that comment. First of all, a rubber stamp leader, a figurehead for the real powers. Any understanding down there in South Korea who the real powers are?
Well, it's all it's all quite hard to parse, John, because we don't really get any clear designations or instructions or guidance from North Koreans. It's a pretty strange place. The dots maybe have become a little clearer. Now we'll have to see, we have to watch to see how they're connected. We really don't know much about this kid. The New York Times, we don't even know how old he is.
26 or 27, right, Mark McDonald? Something like that.
26, 27, 28, it depends on the biography you read. He went to school, apparently, in Switzerland. He may or may not have been at a private school. He apparently speaks some English. He, at one point, liked Michael Jordan. These are the only salient facts we know about this guy.
If you roomed with Kim Jong-un in a boarding school in Switzerland, give us a call at 877-8-MY-TICK. We're just trying to help you out there, Mark.
Well, yeah, and then have him call me, please.
Mark McDonald, all of these facts that you mentioned, allegedly, about Kim Jong-un, educated in Switzerland, speaks a bit of English, is fond of NBA basketball, or at least Michael Jordan. You know, it would be nice to think that along the way here the last 25 years, someone from the West has kind of gotten to him to either be a friend or a contact, that maybe we might be able to influence him in some way. Am I fantasizing?
Well, that's a very good question. Even the people who follow this full-time in South Korea, who watch the North, I mean, there's a real industry of people and analysts and observers here who do this stuff full-time. They are very cautious about saying anything definitive or categorical about any of the people in the leadership. The rumors, innuendo, gossip, whispers, that's what you get from these people who presumably know.
And, you know, the North Korean succession process, such as it is, and you've described it to be a mystery, is all about preserving a kind of dynastic continuity between grandfather, father, and now son. But I'm wondering, if one was going to be a reformer in North Korea, they would have to address this issue that was conveyed to us by Barbara Demick, journalist and author of Nothing to Envy, on the program a little while ago. Listen to this, Mark.
It's a revelation, and I think with each bite of that banana, what you're realizing, you're not just tasting the banana, but you're realizing how much you lost and how deprived you were again.
That's Barbara Demick describing a little girl whose story was she's rich because she knows what a banana tastes like. If a reformer in North Korea were to address those people and that situation, what might they do?
Well, the economy, fixing the economy, which is by all accounts broken, is probably very high on the list of any of the new leadership. A friend of mine was recently in Pyongyang just over the weekend, and he, however, described it as bustling. That's the word he used. He said a lot of people had cell phones. He saw kids actually texting, and women were dressed as fashionably as women in Shanghai or Beijing. He went jogging and wasn't stopped by the police. He was there 5 days, and there was only one blackout for just a minute. So it's sort of, you know, it's sort of a mess in terms of trying to figure out really what's going on. It's just not clear at all.
Some of the observers in North Korea note the proliferation of electronic devices like cell phones and computers, and some suspicion that North Korea wants to upgrade its internet infrastructure, which could conceivably cast North Korea in the situation that Iran has been in, where Twitter feeds are fueling the opposition and really creating a vibrant political critique of the government in Iran. Is that likely to happen in North Korea, and is that what we might be looking at over the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think mobilizing by cell phone could happen, because that horse is out of the barn. But there's no visible sign of anyone using the internet or reaching out to the outside world. Not that we're hearing reported anyway.
All right, New York Times Seoul correspondent Mark McDonald, thanks so much. Talking about how Kim Jong-il has apparently promoted his youngest son, Kim Jong-un, to succeed his father. He's a four-star general, which may mean that the succession process is well underway. And that's according to the Korean Central News Agency, reporting on the meeting, the first in 30 years, of the North Korea ruling Workers' Party in Pyongyang.